Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up on the emerging podcast scene, we tackle the Cracker Barrel controversy.
And Tony Roma's Ponderosa Old Country Buffet. We compare restaurants of our youth to current Cleveland Browns football players.
It's the emerging podcast scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend, XTENDAV.com. Hello, Tone.
Hey, Kenny. Great to be on the podcast with you.
I just posted a video of Strickland Propane. Taste the meat, not the heat. I'm hearing reverb over there. Hot mics. Texted a thing of taste the meat, not the heat, Strickland Propane. From Cracker Barrel, where Carrington Harrison, Owen gave me this idea yesterday, our buddy Carrington Harrison down in Kansas City. He's the first one to it. I think for guys in our business, it's kind of common sense. Because we always think of the cynical side of this, the Cracker Barrel controversy, and them taking out the old man with the barrel. Apparently, they're putting the old man with the barrel back.
He's back.
Okay, the old man with the barrel's back, and Carrington Harrison's like out getting people outraged, so they remember your restaurant to go back to your restaurant.
Okay.
It's great marketing, and I said, "Is it okay?" I said this to you on the air. I go, "Am I going to cause a bleepster if I just say I don't like the new decor that I saw? I don't really care about the sign. I don't like the new decor."
Yeah, the decor looked
it looked
ridiculous.
Terrible. And because part of what
turn Anthony up just a hair.
I didn't realize this. Owen, I should have realized this. Owen is from Oklahoma. I knew that, but where Owen's from, there is a Cracker Barrel like every seems 1,000 feet.
I'm trying to think a comparison to here where the. You know how everybody has a Bob Evans here, right?
Yeah.
There is a Cracker Barrel there every
Yeah, because remember, Baker didn't know that we had a Bob Evans. He didn't know they were restaurants.
Or in the South, the Waffle House. I remember that that writer from the Northeast, Steve Politi or whatever, did a great column at the Masters on how many Waffle Houses there were within 50 miles, and he went to every single one.
Anthony, oh, my gosh. I lived in a town in Arkansas of 16,000 people that had three exits off the highway. Every exit had a Sonic and a Waffle House. There were 16,000 people in the town.
That's
and
great.
And it wasn't like a major highway.
I did see.
They love it.
I did see a great TikTok on the Waffle House thing, mm-hmm. and it was bigger than Waffle House. It was why all these brands have gone to simplicity.
Why?
Makes a really good case. It's about real estate. It's about real estate and, you know, as usual, cutting costs and cutting your overhead. And the theory was that all of these places, like remember the old Wendy's, they all looked a certain way, right? With that window room.
What was that called?
Solarium.
Solarium. That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was called.
Remember the Pizza Huts?
Yeah.
All looked a certain way.
Yeah.
Well, you're devaluing your real estate if you own the land, because anybody that comes in, they have to redo. You can't, you know, call a roofer to take care of that Pizza Hut roof. Pain in the ass. There's only certain ones that have the materials and whatever. So what do they want to do? Look at a lot of the new McDonald's, which are the biggest real estate owners like in the world, the people that own the McDonald's. They are streamlining it so that if they do sell, someone can pop on in turnkey operation and anybody can fix stuff. Anybody can go in. The way that all these are so individualized makes it really hard on real estate and the costs associated with it, the upkeep on a lot of it. And I thought about it. I'm like, that is, every company is looking to do that. I mean, every single operation, whether it's, think about your own home. If you spend a lot of money, like we were going over the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swifting where they're looking at mansions and really good properties. Well, are they going to buy something that they have to completely renovate because it's dated 15 years, even if it is unbelievable property? Or are they going to go at the newer one where they don't have to do all that, mm-hmm. that much to? Like, it stands to reason. And so,
well, they won't have to do any of it. They just have to hire other people.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, in general, everybody's looking at cost cut. Everybody's looking at their shareholder, you know, trying to maximize their shareholder values and whatever. So it actually does make sense and really doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the cultural wars that are going on right now. It has nothing to do with that.
So do you think that,
and by the way, no Democrats wanted Cracker Barrel to change. Who are the Democrats? So who are you arguing against?
Well, do you think that Cracker Barrel meant to do this and they decided that the backlash was too strong, that they were going to just do that with their, because to me, it defeats the entire premise of a Cracker Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cracker Barrel, how many Cracker Barrels have you been to?
Never.
Okay.
Been to one.
I've been to, not as much as Olin, but I've been to Cracker Barrel several times. I've told you, I mean, Carrie Wood bought the huge thousands of dollar gift card when he was with the Arrows.
That's right.
And we went to Cracker Barrel a bunch,
like,
but we, you know, Liz and I.
Lunches been, for Kenny.
Yeah. I mean, Liz and I went to Cracker Barrel a whole bunch. And it's an experience. The only way you could say it. They're usually packed, especially on a Sunday. They are packed to the ass with people, and it's, let's be honest, it's usually 60 plus year old Caucasian people and their families. And you go there, and it's they have rocking chairs for sale, which I don't know anybody who's bought a rocking chair from.
Bad one.
Cracker, you bought one?
I don't have a porch.
I did not. It was bought when Marley was born. It was a gift for the nursery.
Oh,
it was a Cracker Barrel official. It had this.
Wow.
There's like a little coin that's put into the back of it or whatever that tells you it is.
Oh, my God.
Cracker Barrel official.
I had no idea.
Sold that thing for what they paid for it.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, because, I mean, they look like they're sturdy.
Right.
But
they do not depreciate when you drive them off the lot.
You could sit in them. You could sit in them and wait because you're usually waiting.
So like a Rolex.
Yeah, they're so busy. You're usually waiting.
Yeah.
So you go and sit in the rocking chairs, and I'm sure they wouldn't put them out there if people didn't.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So people buy them. You can play like the big checkers over the Cracker Barrel.
Oh yeah,
they have a which I don't even know what a Cracker Barrel is. I just called it a barrel.
It's a barrel that holds crackers.
Oh, okay.
Why would you put saltines in a barrel?
Because
they put peanuts in a barrel. A lot of restaurants.
It is. It goes back to like when general stores had. They did not have like cold goods or anything. They just had everything out, and it was like 5 cents for a handful or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a penny for it.
Yeah, like, I had no idea.
We're talking like dirt poor times.
So they had like a barrel sitting there, like an old-timey barrel, and then there would be like a cloth checkered board, which I don't know what happens when storms roll through. I've never really been to a Cracker Barrel when a storm rolls through.
It's got an overhang, so who cares?
Man. Okay, that's true. And then, Tone, they have like a store that you go in there, and you could buy, like I made like Gaither Family jokes, like you can buy a Gaither Family or a Bill Gaither CD, the Judds. Anything
you want some Joe D. Messina, they got.
Yes, it, anything you would have seen on TNN in like 1997, they have a CD, and you can buy the CD.
You can get the box set of Reba.
Yes, and it's great because that's exactly true. And you have Reba McEntire CDs because Meemaw and Papaw still listen to CDs, so you can buy them there. And they have old timey soda and stuff like that.
Let
and
me
then
tell you
go
how
in and
great
eat.
It is. Anytime my parents would come visit us, whether I was in Arkansas, we were like 4.5-5 hours away from them there,
mm-hmm.
or up here, which is like a 12-hour drive, right? They always stopped at Cracker Barrel on the way up, and my mom would show up with clothes for my young infant children, which, if you think that we were going to put those, we did it for the day that they showed up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That had sunflowers emblazoned all over them. And then once they were gone, sorry to break this to you, Mom, if you're listening to the podcast.
That's what happens, yeah.
But, you know, obviously.
Same thing as Ralph, or what's his name in A Christmas Story, having to wear the bunny suit.
You know, you're bringing up a lot of things, memories, nostalgia from a bygone era. You know, I read a couple of different articles about this because it was on every news station, my Instagram reels, my TikTok. I mean, it's a culture war, even though nobody was arguing for this. There was nobody out there. It was the CEO that did this. Well, the CEO has what in terms of a mission? Making sure that the brand can get back to, you know, a level. It had gone downhill the last 10 years, and the habits of consumers have drastically changed.
Wonder why that is.
That they have that on everything, on the buying of anything, the habits continue to change. You know, we used to joke, this is called the emerging podcast scene. This is probably a terrible name, but the reason we called it that is because of the emerging brunch scene that I talked about, you know, 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, brunch was not a thing, and then it became a thing everywhere around the country. You know, our habits are all changing so drastically. The fact that we are willing to pay $20 for a drink at a music venue, and the fact that we are right now top dollar is going to like a concert. Like people weren't always willing to shell out hundreds of dollars like to go to a concert. And now to see some of the big acts that you want to see, you have to do that. Like everybody is changing what they do. It's like, you know, whether it's Chipotle or the 10 iterations of Chipotle that are out there, depending on the type of food.
Apparently I have to try the piñata.
Yeah,
I have buddies who you would not think would like that type of food, and they say it's amazing.
Well, there's a Mediterranean version.
Guys like they act like my dad. Yeah.
There's an Asian fusion version. Yeah. There's an Indian version.
Yeah.
Okay, they've all of these. So people are doing this every day instead of making food at home. And sometimes, I'll just tell you, Chipotle is cheaper than some of the meals I know my wife has made, the healthy meals my wife has made. So that never happened before. It never was cheaper, and believe me, most places, it's way more expensive to eat out, and people are still paying the prices to eat out. So as our consumer habits change, I'm guessing the CEO didn't just want to go rogue and change because they thought they'd make less money and there'd be outrage. No, she probably thought, okay, our demographics, we have all the information on our demographics, as all these restaurants do. They have the calculus on who is coming in, what they're purchasing, what their purchasing power is, how the economy is impacting them, and what are they seeing? We are going down, and our demographic is aging. They're going in the wrong direction. And yeah, for 30 years, they might have brought their kids and their grandkids. Guess what? Their grandkids aren't coming here when they get older. So we've lost that. What are we going to do to pivot? So then they pivot to this awfulness, which nobody was asking for. And you're right, Kenny, the interior stuff. You know,
that's what
like
I was upset about. I was like, guys, I do not care about the sign or the old man and the barrel. I'm telling you right now, I know Lima makes me out to be a certain type of individual. Apparently they got upset about it. I don't care. I could not believe people cared that much about the old man on the sign. I didn't even know what the guy was, because you would see Cracker Barrel. I just thought it was like stuff next to the Cracker Barrel or the what said Cracker Barrel. I didn't care about the logo at all. But I like saw the decor, and I was like, oh, that's not a Cracker Barrel. This is like the same old every restaurant you're ever in. Because it wasn't even cool. Like, they always got a bunch of crap on the walls. It's like, it looks like an antique store is what it looks like. There's old signs and, like, old pictures of people who are dead and all types of other crap. And there's, like, a big fire Remember the fireplace that's in the middle of it? Like, that's cool. I don't even know if the fire's ever going. And they got a big-ass fireplace
over
there.
Off of Tiedemann in Parma.
Is there actually fire in there?
Yeah, at least I haven't been in there in years.
I don't know
when
if I've ever seen
it. In Parma, we take the kids there for breakfast.
I don't know if I've ever seen a fire in there, but there's soot, so I assume there was fires in there before.
Where there's soot, there's fire, brother.
Where there's smoke and soot, there's fire. But, like, you go in there. I'm sorry to cut you off, Tone. I don't know what Cracker Barrel could be. What are they going to be that's going to go with the times? Because, you know, we talk about nostalgia. I don't think there's any more nostalgic. I know that we kind of roll our eyes at the boomer generation who are. I made the jokes about the Wangadanga music at the drive-in car shows and the jean shorts and the tucked-in white shirts and the Air Monarchs and stuff. Guys like my dad. And I don't think there's any more nostalgic generation than millennials. Because I was watching that America's Team documentary. I know we can't shut up about it because for the first time ever, Lima's actually watched a documentary.
I know. I'm so excited.
And I was watching that when they first started, they created Troy Aikman's a star and he's on GQ and they're in commercials. And I'm like, man, the 90s were effing awesome.
It was awesome.
They were awesome. We were so materialistic. We didn't give an F. I was an only child. I didn't have any bills. I got anything I wanted for the most part because I was an only child. It was awesome. I know. Congratulations on all my only child success. But there's also obviously childhood trauma that I have to deal with here as an adult that I bring out on the air. But there's like this weird like nostalgia to it. So I'm thinking, well, can a place like how would they change? What would they sell to a millennial that a millennial might want and want to go back to Cracker Barrel? I just think that maybe America's tastes are changing there where, I don't know, man. Do a lot of people really like homestyle cooking as much? Because that's what that is. I get the chicken and dumplings. Like, that's...
What, do people like Cracker Barrel is what you're asking?
I'm saying, like, do they like roast beef and chicken fried steaks?
Oh, everyone
do our
I
generation
know,
like it?
Yeah, even...
You and I do. Does Anthony?
No, I'm saying not in this area. Probably not as much. But, dude, everyone I know down there, that was like a let's just go there thing. It wasn't when you go to Cracker Barrel here, it's like a planned thing more than likely, right?
True.
It was just a Tuesday there.
You know, it's funny.
See, we don't go.
Yeah.
You know,
what's
funny though, because you're right. It does depend.
You're going to Mr. Hero.
There is a regionality, but I do remember, you know, when I was young, you'd hear about sushi. You'd hear about avocados.
Oh, there was no sushi.
You'd hear about avocados.
Yeah.
Right? You would hear about, you know, even the smoothies and the green tea stuff, that was all in California, right? And you're like, those are weirdos. Okay, that stuff's never coming here. And now it's everywhere.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I was just gonna say, there are three salad chains opening up in the next few months in Northeast Ohio, and me and my wife have been waiting because they have them in California and L.A. I stopped at a Good Greens out there. There are three salad chains that are coming to Northeast Ohio.
That's
because
dumb.
Finally,
I can buy a bag at the store.
Right. Well, these are like heavy duty salads.
Right? Yeah.
And it's just our habits.
A meal. It's not a side. Right.
Right. Right. These are definitely meals.
But just okay. For example, right. Pierogies. Did you eat them growing up? Did you know about them growing
up? Yeah. Over my buddy Eric's house.
I always did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never heard of them until my now ex-wife, the first time we came to Ohio, so this is like 2006 maybe, we bought two boxes of Mrs. T's and like put it on ice and took it back to Arkansas. I blew my mind that it was a thing, right? I'm like, these are half-assed raviolis with potatoes in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's as close as I could ever get to any of that stuff. But that here is just a thing, right? Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, every restaurant... Dude, so Sonic, for instance, is from, like, 30 minutes from where I grew up. That's where it started.
I love Sonic.
They had what I call chicken fried steak. Everybody else calls country fried steak.
Mm-hmm.
They had it on the menu. Like, it was... It's on everybody's menu down
there. I skipped that,
Bob. At least
Evans
when I was, you know... Like, and that was something that I ate probably three times a week.
Jesus.
Growing
at
up.
Sonic?
Yeah. No.
Wow.
Just chicken fried steak.
Chicken fried steak, oh.
Like, no matter where we went, that's what I got at the place that we went. That was my chicken tenders.
I would get it. We had a place called Ferraro's down off 30. down, which is still there. Raff Road.
There was not a single establishment that ended in a vowel in Oklahoma.
No.
Named after a family.
Are there any Italian people in Oklahoma?
I'm sure. We had Mazzio's Pizza.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but the guy's last name was probably like Wilson.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, this is it.
And Kevin James was the spokesman.
That's right. You told me that. Yeah. You told me that. Well, Pizza Hut's from Kansas. I mean, that's as middle America as you can get right there.
I'm sending you guys a meal. My sister had sent this to me yesterday. She goes, do you remember this? And it was chipped beef.
Oh, yeah.
We had chipped beef.
Chipped
well,
beef.
Well, depending on how it looks like.
Look at that chipped beef. And it's
we
put
did not
on
call it chipped
an
beef.
Open face spread. What do you call it?
I can't say it. It was bleep on a
bleep
shingle.
Bleep on a shingle.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys had chipped beef.
We had that so often, I can't even tell you. My wife, when I sent this to her after my sister sent it, she gagged.
But I felt
she
like that
couldn't
was a
fathom
poor,
it.
That was a poor people meal to
yeah,
me,
poor people didn't.
Yes.
That wasn't a regional thing. I think that was pours all over the country.
So he would take, my dad would make a roast on a Sunday, and then he would take what was left of the roast, because he'd make a big-ass roast. That's got to be dog poop on the floor, man.
No,
that's got to be dog.
I think it's foam.
Oh, okay.
I took a closer look.
Doesn't that look like a piece of dog poop on the floor?
It's part of this stuff, yeah.
So, Dad. Oh, that's what it was. So, Dad, he'd make a big-ass roast, like a rump roast or you'd get.
Rump roast.
You'd get something called, you'd get like a round steak. I got to tell that story one day on the air about my dad and the round steak and the big fight my parents had the one day. I've told it before the night show. I haven't told it in the morning show, though.
This is like a know your cuts of meat segment all over again.
And so Dad would make this big-ass roast, and then like the next day or a day later, because I've never been a leftovers person. It's got to be something I really liked the first time, or you really got to change it around. And so he knew I liked it, the gravy. He made like regular roast gravy back in the day. So you would get like a lot of the juices, and it was like really thin, watery gravy. But he would take the French's stuff and then pour that in there and then mix it up, make it almost like a roux, and then he put that over bread. And that was excellent.
Hell yeah.
That was excellent. So that's how he would redo it and stuff like that. So that was our bleep on a shingle. We never had it creamed like that. That was never what Dad would do. We'd have city chicken, which was just pork. I would have Taco Bell. My dad would take me to Taco Bell, and I would get three tacos, and he would not get anything. We had spaghetti. That was as far as the Italian food went. There was no Chinese. I didn't eat Chinese food until I could drive, or until my buddies could drive.
You know what? We had it in Chesterland. There were two spots, and we never did it. My parents never did. So I didn't have Chinese food. I didn't understand it. I'd see it in movies. Yeah. And it was always something in movies, but I never had it.
My dad went with his girlfriend to a Mexican restaurant for the first time last year. He had never been to a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, we did a lot of chichis.
No, never.
See, and that's all I grew up there.
We did it for the dessert.
Shoney's.
Oh, we would go to. My uncle would take us to Shoney's. He'd take me to Shoney's. Shoney's was good.
I went to Shoney's once on the way down to Cincinnati.
There was one off 77. Mm. You probably went to that one. There was one in Belden Village, too. We would go to that Shoney's. That was cool. Like Olive Garden. I remember Olive Garden was like a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people make fun of Olive Garden now. I'm like, you guys in the inner ring of Cleveland, because you guys have more ethnicity than we did in Stark County. Olive Garden was the deal, man.
For us, the treat was with my aunt, because my aunt would always take me out. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And like 11 years old, 12 years old, it was either Tony Roma's, and okay. I would impale an entire slab of ribs.
Inhale.
And then the other one was Hometown Buffet. And the reason, why do you think that was? What was I getting at Hometown Buffet?
Ice cream.
The ice cream, the dessert, and all the toppings.
We did that. Ours was Golden Corral, but same thing.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I would not like that combination of food, but at Hometown Buffet, it would make sense. We actually had Old Country Buffet, OCB.
Yeah, we had both. In Menor, we had both. And then, of course,
they bought the Old Country, then moved it in our town.
Well, and then we did, now I didn't do Ryan's Steakhouse, which was another buffet, until I got down to Columbus.
We used to call that AAA because it was next to
the church crowd. And let me tell you, the church crowd, the colors. of the church crowd. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the wardrobe. The colors of the wardrobe. People were decked out in Michael Irvin suits.
Yes.
Okay.
We were hung over on Sundays.
It was awesome.
It was in Akron.
But we also did Ponderosa, and that was my steak. That was where I got my steak, Ponderosa. We didn't go to steakhouses.
Yeah. I used to do. I thought Ponderosa was fine dining. I had no idea. I had no idea any of these restaurants were like run of the mill. Because we did not have, like, there's Sparta Steakhouse in Canton and a couple of decent places. That was it.
Well, yeah, even, I don't know that I went to a real steakhouse until maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, it's been a while. That I remember my boss took me to Ken Stewart's one time.
You know, like, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the first time I ever went to Orion's, there was one off Arlington Road. I don't know if it's still there. And it was right after church. And it was the same thing. And I told you, I used to work that gospel show.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The one day I was working and I came in like right after and I saw Reverend Elliot, which Reverend Elliot's passed away, sadly. But I saw Reverend Elliot and we were like, he's like, Ken, I'm like, Reverend, like, hello. And it was like,
dude,
it was cool.
When I think back to in college, what I would get was I'd be like, well, I got to get a little bit of salad, okay? That's my little health kick because I know what I'm going to eat, which is so stupid. You're just adding to your intake. I'd get the mac and cheese, the au gratin.
I never touched
it. The au gratin potatoes.
I would eat them.
Okay, and the baked potato with the fixins. And I just had more of an appetite back then. I don't know what it was.
You're younger.
I have some thoughts on what it is now, why my appetite is a bit suppressed.
Of course.
So then I would do that. And then, okay, now we're moving up to the big boys. Let's get some chicken wings. Okay. Oh, there's some ribs. Let's throw on some ribs. Okay, let's do this. A good helping. And now it's the entree. Let's find the steak. I'd even get a little bit of fish. A little bit of fish. Just a little bit. Because I'm like, when am I going to eat all this? And then after that was said and done, it's time to get the ice cream. How many? All the while, I'm drinking Pepsis or Cokes or whatever.
Yep.
How many calories? And I was you know.
Well, you were thin, so it didn't matter.
But ridiculous.
It didn't matter.
Absolutely insane that I would eat all that.
I had no problem having the spaghetti and meatballs or spaghetti and sauce next to the mashed potatoes and gravy for whatever reason. It was all fine at Old Country Buffet. Anywhere else, there's no way those things could be eaten at the same time or touching each other. And that was perfectly fine. But I told you, I've gone to two buffets on my own without having to be forced to do it for an event or anything like that in 20 years, the last 20 years. The first time was Liz and I went like on a lark, and I told you there was kids playing in the chocolate fountain, and that was the end of that. And that's back when we had no money, so you're like, I'm glad I already ate because now I'm going to be sick. And then there was the time when Liz and I were first dating, and my parents, I thought they were joking. They started not taking Thanksgiving very seriously. Like I told you, I had that girlfriend in college, and I had to go to Thanksgiving with her family because my parents just flew down to Florida, and that was it. I was very upset with them. And then the one day they went to Hometown Buffet, I thought they were joking, and no bleep, we were going to Hometown Buffet. And this guy was sitting next to us, and he was an only child, and he was with his parents, and he was massive. He was at least 400 pounds, and he was about as tall as Joey, if that. Joey, how tall are you?
5'9".
Yeah, he was like as tall as Joey. And he was wearing a green velvet sweatsuit, and he had this handkerchief, and it was safety pinned to him, and he was talking about the food. Like, you could tell this was such an enjoyment, and this guy has lived with his parents, and he will continue to live with his parents, and he'll probably live with his parents a little bit after they've died. Like, there's no... it's arrested. It's totally arrested development. He is not a man. He is he's a full-grown tax-paying man, but he ain't no tax-paying man. And I could not stop staring at this guy. I go, I'm him. I'm you right now. I'm sitting with my parents. I'm an only child. Oh, and if I don't watch out, I'm going to end up like you.
Did somebody pop into your head when Ken started describing that?
Oh, of course.
It was a giant baby Huey.
Somebody that we maybe work with.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.